and just thank you for the love that we share together in Christ. And it's good to see some of you that were traveling before back home safe and sound. Okay, so we are in Joshua chapter 15, and please stand if you can as we read the word of the Lord together. It is a rather long chapter, okay, and it will probably be a little bit slow with many names that are unfamiliar, okay. So, Joshua chapter 15. Now the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom, southward to the wilderness of Zin at the extreme south. And their south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. Then it proceeded southward to the ascent of Akram, and continued to Zin. Then it went up by the south of Kadesh Barnea and continued to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and turned about to Karka. And it continued to Asmon, and proceeded to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your south border. And the east border was the Salt Sea, as far as the mouth of the Jordan. And the border of the north side was from the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan. Then the border went up to Beth Hogla, and continued on the north of Beth Araba. And the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the border went up to Debir from the valley of Acher, and turned northward toward Gilgal, which is opposite the ascent of Adunam, which is in the south of the valley. And the border continued to the waters of En-Shemesh, and it ended at En-Rogel. Then the border went up to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite on the south, that is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain, which is before the valley of Hinnom, to the west, which is at the end of the valley of Rephaim, toward the north. And from the top of the mountain the border curved to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah, and proceeded to the cities of Mount Ephron. Then the border curved to Bala, that is Kirith-Jearim, and the border turned about from Bala westward to Mount Seir, and continued to the slope of Mount Jearim on the north, that is Cheslon, and went down to Beth-Shemesh and continued toward Timnah, and the border proceeded to the side of Ekron northward. Then the border curved to Shearon, and continued to Mount Bala, and proceeded to Jabneel, and the border ended at the sea. And the west border was at the great sea, even its coastline. This is the border around the sons of Judah, according to their families. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephthunah, a portion among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirith Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Amon and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kirith Sepher. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kirith Sepher and captures it, I will give him Akshah, my daughter, as a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Akshah, his daughter, as a wife. And it came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" Then she said, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families. Now the cities at the extremity of the tribe of the sons of Judah, toward the border of Edom, in the south, were Kabzeel, and Ader, and Jagur, and Kinna, and Dimna, and Adaba, and Kadesh, and Hazor, and Ithnin, Ziph, and Telem, and Baaloth, and Hazar Hadatha, and Kirith Hezron, that is Hazor, Ammon, and Shema, and Molada, and Hazar Gadda, and Hezmon and Beth Pelet and Hazar Shual and Beersheba and Bizothion, Baalath and Iam and Ezam and El Tolad and Chesel and Hormah and Zikla and Madmah and San Sena and Leoboth and Shilhim and Ain and Rimim, in all 29 cities with their villages. In the lowland, Eshtolo and Zora and Ashna and Zanoa and Engannim, Tapua and Enim, Jarmuth and Adullam, Sokoth and Azekah and Shadaram and Adithaim and Gerada and Gerodiathim, 14 cities with their villages, Sanan and Hadashan and Migdal-Gad and Dilion and Mizpah and Jokleel, Lachish and Bozkath and Eglon and Kabban and Lachmas and Chitlish and Jedaroth and Beth-Dagon and Namath and Makeda, 16 cities with their villages, Libna and Ether and Ashen and Iphthah and Ashna and Nezib and Kela and Akzib and Marashah, 9 cities with their villages, Ekron with its towns and its villages, from Ekron even to the sea, all that were by the side of Ashdod with their villages, Ashdod, its towns and its villages, Gaza, its towns and its villages, as far as the brook of Egypt and the great sea, even its coastline, and in the hill country, Shamir and Jetir and Sokoth and Dana and Kirith Sena, that is Debir, and Aneb and Eshtemo and Anim and Goshen and Holon and Gillo, 11 cities with their villages, Arab and Duma and Eshan and Janim and Beth Tapua and Athaka and Humta and Kirith Arba, that is Hebron and Zior, 9 cities with their villages, Maon, Carmel and Ziph and Jutta and Jezreel and Jokdeam and Zonah, Cain, Gibna and Timnah, 10 cities with their villages, Halhul, Beth Zur and Gedor and Marath and Beth Anon and Ectalon, 6 cities with their villages, Kirith Baal, that is Kirith Jearim and Rabban, 2 cities with their villages, in the wilderness, Beth Arabath, Midden and Sekhana and Nibshan and the city of Salt and Engedi, 6 cities with their villages. Now as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites live with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Thus reads the word of God. And you may be seated. Our passage this morning, in the midst of all those cities and territories, Joshua 15:16 through 19. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kirith Sefer and captures it, I will give him Akshah, my daughter, as a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Akshah, his daughter, as a wife. And it came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" Then she said, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. In reading this morning's chapter of Joshua, there is something implanted in the midst of the details of the portion of the land that the tribe of Judah was to receive. Prior to this morning, we had spent a few weeks looking at the fact that Caleb had been pledged this territory that he desired in the promised land. The guarantee from God meant that Caleb and his tribe, the sons of Judah, received the inheritance that Caleb requested, the hill country of Anak. This is where the giants in the land lived. The territory also included the city of Jerusalem, along with all the other cities that are detailed in this morning's reading. The tribe of Judah then struck into their portion of the land and conquered most of it. In the midst of this subduing and listing of the land of their inheritance is placed the account, which is our morning's passage. When the Lord stresses something like this, it must be important. This was a difficult chapter with which to deal. And as I prayed, I kept coming back to this account of Othniel and Akshah. Why is it implanted so purposefully in the midst of the account of the land borders and the cities which were given to the tribe of Judah? In beginning to study, something else was brought into view. There is almost a word-for-word description of this account set before us as well in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, if you would turn to it. Judges 1, 12 through 15. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will even give him my daughter Akshah for a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it. So he gave him his daughter Akshah for a wife. Then it came about, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Then she alighted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Any account that is set in Scripture is important to us in our reading. But when the Lord includes the same account in two of the books of the Bible, it takes on a greater weight of consideration and contemplation as to why the Lord compelled two authors to set this detailed interjection before us. While I in no wise feel adequate to state the precise reason for this section in our reading, as I was praying about how to deal with this chapter, I was led to several aspects concerning wives in Scripture. There is something about Akshah that requires further examination before the Lord. One of the key elements is that she was apparently someone to be treasured. That is why Othniel was willing to fight so fiercely in order to conquer this city and to claim her as his wife. She was not just some shepherdess who was casually considered by her father as expendable, a commodity to be traded away at will. She was the daughter of one of the leaders of the tribe of Judah. She was apparently wise, as we will soon see. She was worth fighting and dying for if the battle miscarried. Othniel was putting his life on the line for the honor of winning her as his wife. She immediately showed her skill and her wisdom by persuading Othniel to ask Caleb for a field as their inheritance in the land, what was called the land of Negev. This was apparently a prime land choice because of what it controlled. It showed how much Caleb cherished his daughter, to give to her what might be the best of the land as an inheritance. However, land alone in that arid region of the world is basically useless for much if there is no water with which to make it prosperous. Water is utterly necessary for land to have value, either as a pasture for herds and flocks, or as fields for grain and fruit. Akshah knew this. She was wise enough to understand that the field alone was insufficient to cement the heritage for her family. Therefore, when she saw her father, she asked for a blessing, the blessing of water. Caleb must have really loved her, because water rights controlled the economic status of the entire region. He not only gave her the water rights of the upper springs that flowed through their land, but of the lower springs as well. This meant that Othniel and Akshah controlled the access to the water of their property, as well as the properties that were connected to these springs. By having control of the water rights, they would become the de facto dominant family of that territory, to whom all the other landowners needed to submit in order to receive any portion of water for their flocks, herds, and crops. The wisdom of Akshah shines through in her request for this blessing from Caleb. There are so many wonderful examples of the wisdom and the thoughtfulness and the prudence of women that fill the scriptures. This morning, we will consider but one more. Abigail, the wife of Nabal, demonstrated her wisdom, her kindness, her understanding, her expressiveness, her loyalty, her forethought, and her intelligence in dealing with David, the future king, as his anger burned against her household. David and his men had been guarding the area surrounding Nabal from all the enemies. David had treated Nabal's servants very well, with kindness and with generosity. Yet Nabal spurned David and refused to offer any food to David or his men. Therefore, an angered and disrespected David was headed to Nabal to deal with his treachery and his scornful disregard for all that David had done on Nabal's behalf. It was into this fiery situation that Abigail came with food and with consolation in order to save her household from the righteous indignation that David was ready to mete out. Please open to 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 35, so we can read about the manner in which the wondrous character of Abigail saved her family from utter destruction at the hand of David. 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 35. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you, and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man Nabal, for as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be his Nabal. And now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you all your days. And should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come about when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause, and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord shall deal well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed, and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request. David understood the blessing that Abigail was in her wisdom and in her intelligent grasping of the situation. She was watching out both for her household as well as for the sake of David, who would eventually become king. She was wise enough to recognize that the innocent blood of her home would haunt David if he were to pursue that reckless course of action. In these couple of examples, we find the reason that wisdom is characterized in the Proverbs as a woman. It shows one aspect of why God created woman as the helpmate of man. They both bring to the relationship of marriage very distinct elements that enhance and strengthen and ennoble the marriage bond as it has been created by God. Speaking most personally, I know that God has manifestly blessed me with a wife who is caring and intelligent and wise and able to provide so very much counsel as to dealing with other people. She has a wonderful and gracious heart that is soft toward those in need, and she understands many of the intuitive aspects of people to which I am absolutely oblivious. We are perfectly paired together as husband and wife, each supplying those elements and understanding that make the whole more and more complete in Jesus Christ. Please turn to Proverbs 3:13 through 18. So we can read about the manner in which the Lord gives full credence to the cherishing and seeking after wisdom in our lives on this earth. This is coupled with the full measure of the need for a man to seek after and to cherish the wife that the Lord provides as the completion of what the marriage bond brings together. Proverbs 3:13 through 18. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Then the Lord reinforces the complete value of seeking after wisdom, as one would love and take care of the spouse so appreciated and so treasured. This is recounted in Proverbs 4:5 through 13. Proverbs 4:5 through 13. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. The immensity of seeking after wisdom is crowned in the marriage of a man and a woman, into that union which develops and regards and appreciates the gifts of perception and wisdom that each one brings into the whole. There is no manner of expressing the appreciation that is found as both parties give themselves to work for the best of the marriage. They learn to prize the fullness of the relationship that will develop as the husband and the wife receive the greater measure of the wisdom that is necessary to face every situation with courage, with strength, with fortitude, with pleasure, with understanding, with long-suffering, with intelligence, with encouragement, and with love. All of this is supplied by God through the working power of the Holy Spirit. Consider how the book of Proverbs ends with the detailed description of an excellent wife in Proverbs 31:10 through 31. Please turn to it, so we can relish what the Lord has created in the heart of His marriage covenant, the helpmate without whom men would surely fail and perish in a most dismal manner. Proverbs 31:10 through 13. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Akshah was that excellent wife to Othniel. She was ready with encouragement and wisdom and intelligence that put her name into the very book of the very Word of God in two different books of the Bible. She was blessed, and she was a blessing to her husband, as are and have been and will be so very many in this room this morning. So be it. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" Then she said, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev. Give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Amen. Amen. And the Lord bless you all.